Luke chapter 14. Anyway, you're already open there. Verse number 28. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So the first thing is Jesus is addressing this, is he says, is there an intention, a desire to build? Think about that. Have you ever had a desire to do something, to build something, to take on a project? There are many things in our lives, whether that's a building, maybe a house or a career or a business, building your marriage, starting a family, building your testimony, building your ministry. You know, there are things that we want to build, but Jesus is asking, have you sat down and counted the cost? What's it going to take? What will it take? I can imagine when the meetings were held, when this property was first found. Are we going to be able to buy that property? And then are we going to be able to build that building? You know, they had to count the cost. They had to assess whether it was a doable project. How many of you ever had a vision, a dream, an idea, but it was just too big? And he said, there's just no way I could get that done. No way I could do that. But he said, you got to count the cost. And why do we have to count the cost? Because it might not just be financial cost. It might be the question of, do I have enough time to dedicate to this project? Will I be able to give it enough time? Will I be able, you know, if I take on, if I have children, will I be able to spend enough time with them? Even, you know, it's coming up time for people to buy a bunch of chickens and ducks and all that kind of stuff. And Christmas time, a lot of times they buy dogs and cats and all that. And then inevitably, a few months later, you'll see some pop up says, well, I got to rehome them because I just don't have the time for them. And it's important that we decide that before we get married, right? If we're going to have time for that marriage. Before we have kids, are we going to have time for those kids? Before we get that pet, are we going to have time for that pet? Before we take on that project, am I going to be able to commit enough time to get the project done? Jesus said, we got to count the cost. Also, do I have enough patience? How many of us are short on patience? Right? Can you imagine you had the right vision, you had enough money, you had enough time, but you just weren't patient enough because you wanted it done yesterday. You know, I think that's what discourages a lot of people when they get saved. They get saved and they think everything ought to change all at once. They get discouraged because they still have these sinful habits and these sinful desires. Guys, that doesn't change overnight. It's a process. We got to work on ourselves. Let God work through us. And, you know, we've got to have the patience to see the changes come through. People get saved, get baptized, and then 2 weeks later, nothing's changed, and they wonder why. Kind of like those resolution makers when they go to the gym in January, right? Well, I've been working out for 3 days, and I still don't have big muscles. I did 40 sit-ups, and I still have a belly, right? Do we have the patience? I wasn't talking about me, of course. Do I have the patience to see it through? When it comes to discipling people, you know, we lead somebody to Christ and we tell them, hey, now that you're saved, you need to get baptized, become part of the church. And so they get baptized, they become part of the church. And then we get discouraged because they're not growing like we think they should. Well, let me ask you a question. Are we investing enough time? And are we patient enough? Are we patient enough to see them stumble and still love them? To see them backslide and still love them? Do we have the patience? We've got to count the cost. And then the experience or the skills, if you will. Do we have the right skill set to see the project through? You know, I'm reminded of Brother Dave. Brother Dave, I love Brother Dave. He was in the church, last church I pastored, and we needed a bus driver for our church bus. And so he said, I'll do it. And I said, all right, great. And that night he came to church and he said, Pastor, I got to thinking about that. And you know, I don't even like kids. I probably shouldn't be the bus driver. He started to look at his skill set. See, so he committed to do it before he counted the cost. Sometimes that's what we do, isn't it? We agree we're going to do it, and then we start to look at it, analyze it, and say, you know, I cannot afford it. I don't have enough patience. I don't have the right skill set. I don't have enough money or time or whatever it is. How about this? A willingness to learn. I read that somewhere today. He said, we can always be growing if we're willing to look foolish. I was working for a company as general manager for a restaurant company in Orlando, and we decided to venture out into a different brand of franchise, and so we bought that. And I was, 30 years old, and I had to go in there and learn how to run this restaurant fresh, new. And the guy that was teaching me, and I was his boss, he was about 18 years old. Now look, I could either come in there and say, I'm the boss, or I could come in and say, you're the master, you're the teacher, show me. Those are the options. If we're willing to learn, if we're willing to submit ourselves and humble ourselves, we can grow and we can learn. But as long as we're haughty and proud and have an attitude, we're going to be stagnant. This project's got to get built. What is it? Are we willing to learn? Do we have the determination to see it through? Not just the patience, the determination. I don't know about you, Brother Ronnie, but every time I've ever done a roof, I was close to the end and I was ready to quit. I was ready to quit sooner, don't get me wrong. But it seems like right when you get to that last hour or so, I just get so impatient, but I got the determination to finish. I got to finish it today. I want to get finished today. It doesn't matter if we got to get spotlights out. I got to get it finished today. You know what Jesus' message to us is? Don't be a quitter. His message to us is that we've got to look at what there is to be done. We've got to calculate the cost before we start it. We have big vision. We have big goals. We have great desires. God gives us great vision and great desires that are beyond us. We cannot accomplish it by ourselves. But he says you've got to count the cost. You've got to analyze it. Why? How many times have we seen people that come into the church and they get saved and they get baptized and maybe they're faithful for a few weeks or maybe even a month or so, and then they quit? What happened? What happened to make them just give up on church? Maybe something else came along that took their time. By the way, it doesn't take much to get us out, does it? If we miss that one Sunday, it makes that second Sunday easier to miss. And so we just get in that, we get out of the pattern of serving God, of attending church. Again, you know, the building, and this is what I really need to bring this home. Our purpose as a church is not to get people in this room. It's not the goal. I'm glad y'all are here. I want you to come back. But this is not the goal. The goal is to get people to heaven. The goal is for people to understand their need for a Savior and accept Jesus Christ and put their faith and confidence in Him and live for Him. Not just get them in the pews. We count the cost and we realize that it's going to take some effort on our part. As the church, as the Christians, if we want other people to get to heaven, we've got to put in the effort. We've got to show them the way. We've got to practice. We've got to think about what we're going to say. And we've got to pray about the Lord leading us through that conversation. But not just be a quitter. You know, we don't ever start something just to quit it, do we? I remember a couple that got married, and it wasn't a wedding that I performed, but the parents actually had to sign for this young man to get married because he was not yet of age. She was, he wasn't. When they came to get the mom and dad to sign the paperwork, and, you know, they were hesitant. And the bride-to-be said to mom, says, I don't know why y'all are stressing. If it doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. By the way, this was 50 years ago. But we don't go into something planning to quit it. Because, by the way, when you go into something planning to quit, that's what happens. And that's what happened. The point is, we don't start things to quit. We don't plan to fail. We don't plan to fall short. Look at verse 29. Jesus says, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Hey, the context is discipleship. The context is our walk with God. The context is that when we get saved and we get baptized, then we go to that next step and begin to study the Word of God and understand our purpose, understand our function, understand what Jesus is going to do in our lives. Do we practice it? Do we exercise it, as we talked about in Sunday school? Do we begin to share our faith with others? You know, Dan mentioned his friend at work, and sounds like he has a good impression of him, but he's got a need. You want to know one of the easiest ways to share our faith is when we find out that burden and say, hey, can I pray with you about that? That's not hard. By the way, that's the number one thing people want us to do is pray for them. Pray with them. Let them hear you say their name in prayer. It makes a difference when they hear you say their name to God. And now that person knows that you're saved. And now that person knows that you have faith. And now that person knows that you care about their well-being. That's witnessing. That's discipleship. The question is, we're going to quit on God. Where do we quit? Where's the finish line? Where is it that we quit on God? Do we say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. But after that, I'm done. I just want you to save me so I'll go to heaven, but I want you to know I'm not taking any of the rest of it. We talked about that in Sunday school too, didn't we? Or do we say, God, I ask you to save me, and then you go to the church and say, I want to get baptized. I want to bury my past in the waters of baptism. What's the other part of that? Risen to walk in newness of life. No, I don't want to do that part. Well, if you don't do that part, we leave you down under the water. That's what it represents. Risen, a resurrection, to walk in newness of life. That's what it represents. Okay, well, I'll get saved, but that's as far as I'm taking it. Well, I'll join the church, but that's as far as I'm taking it. Well, I'll join the church and I'll come to church, but that's as far as I'm taking it. Because let me express to you that that is not far enough. You see, our faith has to be taken out of this room, out of this building, so that others may know Him by our love and our hope and our peace and our faith. Will you quit on God? We're going to go to church, or we're going to be the church? Are you going to be faithful till you graduate to heaven? We've seen some great saints, and from time to time, I actually keep a calendar. It's on my calendar when we've graduated, if you will, some of our loved ones to heaven. So it'll pop up and it'll say so-and-so passed away on this day 10 years ago, whatever it is. I do that mainly because it gives me time to pray extra for their family. Because I know they're grieving. But I think about the ones we've graduated. They were faithful to the end. And then I think of others who, when they called and said, Pastor, will you do the service for this person? And then I would say, well, did they know Christ? Well, they did a long time ago. Somewhere along the way, they ran out of funds and didn't finish the tower. Somewhere along the way, they ran out of interest and left it sitting there. The foundation was laid. Maybe some of the walls were starting to go up, maybe even the corners. But they didn't finish because they didn't have the determination or the patience or the skills. And so it just lays there. By the way, I don't know if you've ever seen a house that's started and not finished. But over time, even that which has been started fails. Because it's not meant to be just one piece. As each piece is put in place, it is reliant on the whole thing being finished. And that's how our faith is. Our faith is reliant on continuing through all the way. Verse number 31. Jesus asked a separate question. What king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? I mean, have we thought about what we're up against? You ever face a challenge and you say, I don't know if I could do it? Well, that's what he's saying. At least think about whether or not you can do it. Else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends ambassage and desires conditions of peace. He said, hey, let's talk about this. Conversation can avoid a lot of conflict. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What's he saying there? He's asking, are we willing to completely surrender everything and trust God? Are we willing to walk away from everything for God? He's not asking us to necessarily. But if that becomes a condition, are we willing to accept it? How devoted are we? Because let's face it, guys, we look at somebody that falls in love and they forsake everybody, don't they? They don't care what mom and dad think. They don't care what brothers and sisters think. They don't care what the friends and the co-workers think. They don't care what the preacher thinks. They are so completely surrendered to that person, they forsake everything else in their lives. Am I wrong about that? Have you ever seen that happen? All Jesus is asking is for the same. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to leave our father and mother and sisters and brothers. And he's not saying we can't keep our family. He's not saying we can't keep our job or live where we live. What he's saying is, are we so devoted to God that everything else is based on that? Or have we put God last? Is God just conditional? Is our faith just superficial? Are we willing to walk away from everything if that's what God says? How much do we love him? Are we willing to surrender all? He finishes out this chapter by saying the salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? What's the question? The question is, who's going to inspire us? Understand, as the people of God, as the church, as Christians, we're the ones that are supposed to be showing others the way of salvation, hope and love and forgiveness and faith and peace. And when they're supposed to look at us and see examples of how they should live their lives, of how faith works when we surrender. But if we're not surrendered, how are they going to get that? The world needs the church. The world needs us to be the church. They got somebody else to be the entertainment. We've got to be the truth. They've got somebody else that's going to make them feel warm and fuzzy. We've got to show them the way of Christ. We have got to be in the Word. Each and every one of us needs to be in this book so we can share the hope that's within us. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Who's going to help us? Because we're the helpers. We are the helpers. Let's not get to the point where we're the ones looking to others to help outside the church. We got to be the helpers. Who's going to get us back on track if we lose our way? We've got to be so careful. There's so many distractions. There are so many options. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, I believe with all my heart that God made me. I mean, I know how in the biological natural process I get how I got here. But I believe what God said to Jeremiah is true, not only for Jeremiah, but for each of us. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So I believe that you and I were born on purpose, for a purpose. And if you don't know what that is, if we're not fulfilling God's will in our lives, it's time today to surrender and say, God, show me what it is and show me the cost. Because I don't want to get halfway finished and run out of time, energy, or interest. As we're building our lives from the time that we're born to the time that we take our final breath, that's the life we're building. That's the reputation. That's the testimony. That's the tower. But I'm afraid that some get started well, and then they just give up on building anymore. And so you built, you've got half a tower, and it's pretty secure. But guys, we can never stop building till it's finished. Till it's finished. Would you stand? Father, we pray that you will show us how to build the life that you designed for us. How to build the life that was in your heart when you brought us about. For some of us, we have built and continue building. For others, it's the beginning of the building. And maybe there's someone here today who's going to have to step back and start all over again to have a building that glorifies you. And I pray, God, that you will reveal that to each of us, that we can build well, so we can build fully. So that we'll not be quitters in faith, quitters in life. Open our eyes to your purpose and your plan, for your will for each of us today, in Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? Or you can pray where you are. God, show me how to build. God, help me build well. God, send laborers to help me build. God, I feel like I'm running out. I don't want to get halfway there and quit. I don't want to just leave the beginnings of the work started and not finish. So God, take the quit out of me, that I can see it through, that I'll be fully engaged in your work on the day you call me home. I don't want to be a quitter, Lord.